The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
It's a great Wednesday. Thanks for being with us. Tom Luganville. Tommy is going to be with us from ESPN, recruiting and college football analyst. Tommy, really good on the recruiting end of things. We're going to talk about ASU and U of A. I caught up with Tommy earlier on this LOI week. We will have Peter King with us today. Peter King with Football Morning in America. Peter King, all things around the National Football League. Yesterday, I saw Star Wars, went to a screening of it, and I guess I can talk about it. There's like this embargo of when we're supposed to do reviews, but I'm just going to say that, yeah, I saw it, and my wife cried a few times, and I saw it at the Cine Capri on an enormous screen, which is the way to go see it. Star Wars, so my backstory, part of my backstory, is I worked in a movie theater as my first job. And that first year that I was at the movie theater, Star Wars came out. And so I've seen all these. And of course, when you have kids, you got to take them to see all of them. It's kind of like the Harry Potter deal. You just grow with your kids. Having four kids, you have to explain the Star Wars thing to them over and over and over and have them see it. And it's fine, whatever. It's on TNT, which feels like all the time you stop. And now that there's Disney Plus, you stop. And so there was anticipation yesterday to see Star Wars. It comes out on the 20th, and it was really good. That's all I'm going to say. In my opinion, the best of all of them. So there you go. Our opening comments are brought to you by Sagicor Now. Protect what matters most, and that is with life insurance. It's this time of year where you are looking back and saying, man, what a year 2019 has been. Hopefully it's been a year where you've looked at your personal financial situation and said, let me get this in order. Let me get my house together. I'll get my life insurance done. That's something I've been needing to check the box off on. If not, just simply log on to Sagicor Now. And Sagicor wants you to have a very happy holiday season. Tom Luganville, Peter King in a few minutes. Last night, I ended up at Chubba Purdy's house. It's not really his house. I ended up at Sean and Carrie Purdy's house. I've been to Sean and Carrie Purdy's house before. I would consider the Purdy's the first family of football in Arizona over the last several years because of quarterbacks Brock Purdy and now little brother Chubba Purdy. This story will come to a conclusion today about what college that Chubba is going to choose. I do know where he's going to go, but it doesn't mean I can sit here and ruin his moment. I'm not going to do crystal ball. I'm not going to do signs are trending towards. I'm not going to do that. I'm not. You know, that's, if that were the case, I could have done this a long time ago in this space. Could have done this a while back. But I'm not, and it's going to be his day, and it's going to be his time. The story, though, is really interesting of how this has all come together. On this LOI day, there's several big names that are still out there in the state of Arizona. Two of them in particular, Keely Ringo over at Saguaro and Jason Harris over at Higley. Neither one are expected to sign their letter of intents today. For some of you, letter of intent day is the absolute bore. It's just something you could care less about. You want me to get over to Ayton last night? You want me to get into Taylor Hall and the Coyotes last night? Danny Gonzalez leaving ASU and all that stuff. And it's fair, but I think the story that is most gripping and interesting to me, which is what I base this show off of, if I'm not interested in it, we're probably not going to talk about it. Lots of places you can go otherwise. Like for me to sit here and talk about whether the Cardinals are turning the corner because they beat Cleveland, wrong show, not happening. Not in my lifetime, not in your lifetime. I'm not going to sit here and waste time on that nonsense. I'm not talking backup right tackles. Not happening. So the big story, I think, today, there's two of them. One of them does involve Taylor Hall and the Coyotes. The Coyotes win again last night. They beat San Jose, and Taylor Hall is going to meet the media later today out in Glendale. The Coyotes have somebody that is very, very interesting and a top-of-the-line player. I think they're going to go to the postseason. Chubba Purdy is the other big story in town. Chubba, a week ago today, was going to sign and get it all done and get it over with. In his mind, it was all finished. He was going to go to Louisville. Now, a week later, that's up in the air. I think he's come to a decision on it. In fact, I know he has. But I think it's taken a while to go through the entire process. For those of you that think it's glamorous, and one reason I do like covering the Purdys is because they're pretty normal. They're very normal. Like, I don't need crazy dad. I don't need crazy mom. I don't need people in the circle saying, you're sleeping on my kid. What I need is just people that can go out and ball. People that produce, people that get it done in the classroom, and people that get it done on the field. It's really not that hard. Whenever I have someone that comes at me and says, you're not giving my kid enough attention, bye, done, see you later. So Brock Purdy, to give this story context, came to me at the National Football Foundation lunch a couple of years ago, and at the time was not being recruited by much of anybody. And I had not known him, had not met him, and I start visiting with him, and he says to me, what junior colleges do you think I should be looking at? What junior colleges do you think I should consider? And I immediately said, okay, this is a kid I want to help out, because I saw him play and he was being under-recruited. He was not getting attention and he was a flat baller. Arizona State didn't even give him the time of day. Rest is history. He's gone on to Iowa State and he's killing it there. Then we get to Chubba Purdy. Chubba Purdy is a bigger version than Brock. Built differently. He's got a cool name. Not that Brock's not a cool name. It's just why Chubba and all that stuff. And that's his story to tell, not mine today. And so last year, Arizona State, because I sit here in this state and say, why can't quarterbacks stay at home? Why is it all these quarterbacks leave the state? And I go on my annual rant and I get people at ASU that get mad annually because I don't sit there and say, rah, rah, go Devils. I didn't go there. Don't care. Didn't go to U of A. Don't care. Just please don't let good talent get out of the state, especially a quarterback. So Arizona State did recruit Chubba Purdy. They had him in for the junior year. Junior year day, there was a meeting between Rob Likens, where he was watching film with Chubba, and Herm Edwards and Al Luganville put their heads in and said a few things, a few pleasantries. Last June, I get a phone call from Al. Right before Chubba goes to Louisville, right before he goes to Kansas State, Purdue, Kansas, and Michigan State. And Al's point of the call was, we've done a lot to give this kid a lot of space, which they did, but they didn't do enough, in my opinion. So once again, we see a kid that leaves the state. He goes to Louisville. Fast forward ahead, Mike Norvell's at Memphis. Mike Norvell kills it there. Mike Norvell with former Sun Devil quarterback Brady White gets it done. I've always liked Mike. Mike did a great job of recruiting N'Keal Harry and Chase Lucas. And that led all the way up to Mike leaving Memphis to go to Florida State. Last Wednesday, if we're going to go through the timeline, last Wednesday night, Chubba gets a text from Florida State. Are you interested? This happens in the world of recruiting. For those of you that are going to go on the side of the street of, oh, well, he'd already given his loyalty. You cannot have that mindset in recruiting. Things change. The Mike Norvells of the world don't come available very often. So that started the process of visiting. Last Thursday, they go back and forth. Mike Norvell makes Chubba an offer when he's at a Subway. And by Thursday afternoon, they are on the phone with Florida State, getting the flights confirmed, when to head out. Friday, they do the right thing by going to the National Football Foundation lunch for Chubba. I see him there. They go change in the parking lot. They head off to Florida State Friday afternoon. Problem is, they get to Dallas. They miss their connecting flight. Their luggage gets sent ahead. They have to spend the night in Dallas. The next morning, their flight is delayed to get to Tallahassee. They get to Tallahassee at 2:15 in the afternoon. They start doing all the recruiting stuff, and it's a whirlwind. They go have breakfast at the president of the university's house the following morning with a couple of other recruits. They get to the airport. FSU would like a commitment. Chubba says, I'm going to sleep on it. The flight leaves early of all things, so they have to cut off conversation. They get to Dallas for a connecting flight that ends up sitting on the tarmac for 2.5 hours. They get back on Monday. He's beat to a pulp. Tuesday, he gets himself together, looks at all of his options. And last night, we're having Taco Tuesday at the Purdy house, and he's on the phone with his big brother, Brock, talking to him about his decision. And his sister, Whitney, is there. and the mom and the dad are there. We walk down the street and see Christmas lights, and we do an interview that's going to be on the site right after Chuba makes his announcement. That's how this all went down. And so the idea of, well, when you give your word in recruiting, there every situation's different. Every situation's different. I myself do not like hat dances. I think hat dances are just old, tired. It's where you put a bunch of hats out in front, and then you see a kid go to one, and then he goes the other, and then he goes back. I've seen them rip open shirts. I've seen all this stuff. And, you know, this kid is as good a baller, as good a player as I've seen. And once again, he's not going to Arizona State. And once again, we're seeing another player leave the great state of Arizona to go play elsewhere. And what I've seen on the early returns so far of letter of intent day is players leaving the Pac-12, a lot of them, doesn't mean all of them, but a lot of them are leaving the Pac-12 and they're going on to greener pastures, which is really unfortunate. Tom Luganville is next, then Peter King. I'm Brad Sussmat. Now we turn our attention to National Letter of Intent Day. Recruiting scout, college football analyst. I hear him on Sirius XM College Sports Nation quite a bit. He is Tom Luganville. He is one of the best in the business on all things on the college football front. And in terms of recruiting, I want to have Tommy on to give a deep dive on both Arizona State, U of A, and just a national view of what's going on out here. First of all, on a big top line question, how would you rate this class in terms of depth? What does the class of 2020 nationally look like from your view?
Really strong in two, I think, very important areas, Brad, the offensive front and the defensive front. And when I say the defensive front, I mean the front seven as well, with the likes of outside linebackers and inside guys. And, you know, when you look at recruiting and you look at the teams that are competing for college football playoff inclusion and how they're built from the inside out. You know, they're built with defensive front, offensive front people, and then you get to the quarterback and you work your way out. And this is a very strong year up front on defense. I believe we have, no fewer than four or five in our top six in the ESPN 300. They're all in the defensive line. So pretty impactful group there.
Turn our attention to Arizona State. When you have a quarterback, does it make it easier to recruit? And are you seeing that with the Jaden Daniels impact on this year's recruiting class at Arizona State?
I think so, because I think it draws attention to, you know, what you're going to be. Obviously, they're going to have a coaching shift and going to be maybe a little bit different offensively. But there is a lot of talent, and a lot of players there, and the quarterback's a difference maker. And you know, now you look at what are they going to do with the other quarterback, too. You bring in two guys like Jaden Daniels, like Joey Yellen. They can't both play at some point or another. This seems to be the problem in college football. If you've recruited well at that point, you're going to lose one. So now you got to look forward to figure out how you're going to replace that player at some point or another, because you figure it's going to happen to everybody. But I think the surprise for Arizona State last year was that they got Jaden Daniels, and then Jaden Daniels performed to the level that he did, and certainly has a significant amount of upside that makes it exciting for prospects, particularly on the West Coast and particularly in California. So I think it's important, Brad, that Arizona State, they need to strike while the iron's hot in the state of California, why SC and UCLA are down right now.
If you were to get specific, Tommy, if you can, on ASU, just the ones that you look at and say before letter of intent day that are rock solid, that are going to show up and sign. I know there's always that possibility, but who are some of the names that jump out at you that you're like, wow, it's a really good get for ASU?
I think the defensive end, Jordan Banks, is really important, because that's the one missing piece, I think, defensively for this group, is to have a true pass rusher, an edge guy. They've recruited extremely well at linebacker. They've got some interior people. They need an edge player. So that one's important to me in terms of why he's important. It's because it's such a need position. And if you follow recruiting at all and you're familiar with the West Coast, you know, the Kayvon Thibodeaux of the world aren't growing on trees. There's very few of those. So everybody's scouring for those types of players, and where ASU needed to make some inroads is at the edge spot, and I think they've done that.
Flip it around to U of A. What do you take away top line on U of A's recruiting class before letter of intent day?
Trying to figure out why they haven't been in California as much as I've expected them to be. They've kind of been all over the map. Lost a tight end as a decommitment yesterday, actually. 13 verbal commitments right now, and then they've got a lot of room left. I think they're one of the Pac-12 teams that has probably the most available spots of guys that they're going to be pursuing and have the opportunity to sign, where maybe more people have bigger numbers right now and are actually going to sign fewer kids that aren't already verbally committed. I think you'll see a lot of new commits come on board that haven't been committed for U of A on top of what they currently got with their group of 13.
Talking recruiting with Tom Luginbill. So Arizona is a hotbed, Tommy. You know, Chuba Purdy's out here this year in the quarterback class. Jack Miller's out here in the quarterback class. Last year was Spencer Rattler. What's going on with Arizona and Tyler Shuck up at Oregon? The numbers of quarterbacks coming out of Arizona, has this state become destination marketing for every university to go find a quarterback?
It sure seems to have, right? I mean, you've got Spencer Rattler's another one that's at Oklahoma, out of the state, that's been very, very productive. We know Kyle Allen was out of that state. The young sophomore that's at Chandler right now is going to be a phenomenal player. I think everybody's going to be on his
Michael
trail.
King,
I think a little bit of, I think a little bit of it is cyclical. I think you're going to have some peaks and valleys. The football, particularly with the big programs in the state, has become very competitive. I think offensively it's attractive. They're able to promote and obviously create some opportunities for talented quarterbacks in the area. And, you know, it's one of those states, if you liken it to a state on the East Coast, it's like South Carolina. It's really top heavy with really good top to bottom talent in that upper tier. And then there's more of a bigger cliff where it forces the Arizona schools to go into other people's backyards to round out the classes.
Good stuff there, Tom. Appreciate your time and your insight, as always. Thanks.
You bet, man. Thanks.
Tom Luginbill there with ESPN. Appreciate his time on that front. You can also hear Tommy on SiriusXM College Sports Nation. He does a great job in their recruiting show on a national basis. Sports360AZ.com. I'm Brad Sussmat. Time now for Football Morning in America's Peter King. He Skypes in late in the NFL season for the Arizona Cardinals. Their season actually pretty much over, but there are some questions that I want to have Peter on, and then I've got to talk some baseball with him. So let's just go right down the Cardinals list here. Larry Fitzgerald returns in 2020 or not? This is an annual question that you and I have. I saw Fitz Sr. yesterday at the game against Cleveland. He put an ominous tweet out about if this is it, it's been great. What do you think about Fitz in returning?
You know, I just don't know, Brad. I had thought that if he got out of this season healthy and feeling good, he might play another year. But it was interesting to read what he wrote yesterday. I have no inside information whatsoever. I haven't talked to him probably in 2 months. And the last time I talked to him, we had talked nothing about the future. It was only about the present. And so I don't know, but I would agree with you that, you know, both in what he said yesterday and other indications that this could be it. The one different thing, I think, that when you look at, say, the two guys who were picked 1 and 3 in the 2004 draft, Eli Manning and Larry Fitzgerald, the one thing that's a little bit different, I think the Cardinals want Larry Fitzgerald to come back. That's my gut feeling. Mm-hmm. And I don't sense the Giants want Eli Manning back unless he'd come back knowing that he's going to be a backup at a significantly reduced rate of pay. Kind of don't think Eli would want to do that.
Yeah, where's Robert Gallery these days? Because he was number two and all that.
Yeah, that's right. He was. And I remember I covered that draft. I covered the Raiders in Oakland that weekend. And on the Friday, when I was out there visiting with Al Davis that day, I got word that Pat Tillman had died.
Mm.
That was the weekend that he died in 2004.
Wow. That puts it in perspective for sure. Steve Keim returns, doesn't return. Where are you at on that one?
You know, I don't know that either. I hate to come on and totally out of the loop, but I just don't know. I've not done any reporting on that, you know, this year. And so I don't know. But I would think that Michael Bidwell's got to be at least thinking about it.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, you know, he had the guts along with Cliff Kingsbury to sort of go against the grain and go do Kyler Murray. So I don't know, and I'm sorry to say that, Brad, but I just don't.
That's fair. That's fine. From a distance, Peter, if you hear anything from a distance, what's gone on here in Arizona from a year ago where they said, Steve Wilks, you're fired. Josh Rosen, you're out of here, to Cliff Kingsbury, you're here, and Kyler Murray is here. Are things better in Arizona? Because the record doesn't show much being better.
That's a really, really good question. And I think that in order to go ahead with the regime, I think you have to be really confident that the players they've drafted and signed recently are going to be cornerstones of your program. And I just don't know whether internally, other than, Kyler Murray and certainly Kirk and some of the younger guys, how many of those are there? And obviously, the Cardinals have had some significantly busted draft choices.
Yep.
As you know, I don't have to tell you that. So I think they're going to have to judge it as a complete sort of as a complete picture. And the one thing that I would say about the Cardinals right now is that this is really not what you'd call a very traditional football team right now. And there's so many different things happening, and especially, when I look at this team, I just say to myself, how strange is it that as promising as Kyler Murray has been, and I think he's had a very, I'd be very optimistic about Kyler Murray judging by how he's played this year, they got a top three NFL running game. And you knew that when Cliff Kingsbury came in and said, we're going to be able to run the ball. Yeah. We get it. We understand. That they have had a tremendously interesting year running the ball, especially when you consider that even though maybe Cliff Kingsbury knew he was going to do that, it was not something that everybody thought coming in was going to be the strength of that offense.
Well, in particular, if I would have told you, Peter, at the start of the year, by the way, Chase Edmonds and Kenyon Drake are going to lead this team in rushing, not David Johnson.
That's
been the storyline out here.
Yeah.
One other thought I want to talk to you about, because you and I, through the years, we like to talk about other things. So Madison Bumgarner signs with the Arizona Diamondbacks, shocks the baseball world, 5 years, $85 million. We're both seam heads to a certain extent. Peter, lovingly term, what do you make out of Mad Bum coming here to the Diamondbacks?
I guess I'm not surprised. I forget who wrote it last week. Maybe Ken Rosenthal or somebody said that he really wants to stay in the National League because he wants to hit. I know that was really kind of funny. But I guess when you have to spend all this time concentrating on your pitching, it must be fun to be good at something else in that sport. And look, it seems like a big ball yard to pitch in. That was probably important to him because his home road splits have been stark.
Yeah.
How he's pitched so well in San Francisco and not well on the road. I know he's going to love my buddy Nick Ahmed at shortstop.
Your guy.
He'll create some outs for him, but
your guy.
I am no National League shortstop whisperer knowing all that, but he had a pretty good one in Brandon Crawford too. I'd be really happy if I were a Diamondbacks fan, because that guy is such a great competitor. He's so interesting. I'll tell you one, my only Madison Bumgarner story, other than the fact I saw him pitch a shutout in the playoffs against the Mets a few years ago. The one story, when he won Sportsman of the Year at Sports Illustrated,
yeah.
I remember he came to the event with his wife. They came to New York, and he's a very quiet, not at all a talkative dude, but he found out I covered the NFL, and he wanted to know everything about Eli Manning.
Yeah.
And he wanted to know about the, just sort of, he seemed so cool. I said, hey, he's like Madison Bumgarner. You never know by looking at him what's going on in the game. And I think you kind of like that.
That's good stuff. I'll let you go off that. I appreciate your time as always, Peter. Thanks.
All the best, Brad. Thank you.
Happy New Year's. Peter King there with us with Football Morning in America, Sports360AZ.com. I'm Brad Sussmat.